USA Radio News.
A 7-year-old girl who crossed the U.S.-Mexico border with her father died after being taken into custody by the U.S. Border Patrol. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen tells Fox News what she knows about this case.
What happened here was they were about 90 miles away from where we could process them. They came in such a large crowd that it took our Border Patrol folks a couple times to get them all. We gave immediate care. We'll continue to look into the situation. But again, I cannot stress how dangerous this journey is when migrants choose to come here illegally.
China will temporarily be cutting its 25% tariff on American-made cars, trucks, and auto parts. The Chinese Finance Ministry announced it will suspend tariffs for 90 days, beginning the first of the year. The announcement follows China's first purchase of U.S. soybeans in months this week, and less than 2 weeks after the United States and China reopened trade talks. This is USA Radio News.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100, or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle bed sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
If a spending bill is not agreed to by the House and Senate and signed by President Trump by next Friday, the government will partially shut down. Something that still has everyone talking is the meeting that was held between President Trump and top Democrats Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi at the White House. Republican Senator Ted Cruz says there was one thing about that meeting that was very interesting to him.
One of the surest indications of how unhappy the Democrats were in that exchange is over and over again, Nancy Pelosi says, can we turn the TV cameras off? We're not supposed to be doing this publicly.
Right.
You can tell they're on the losing end of the argument when she's scared that cameras are showing that she and the Democrats are for open borders and the president is fighting to do what the American people want, which is secure the border, build the wall, and keep our country safe.
The CDC is continuing to warn people about romaine lettuce and the E. coli outbreak. They're basically saying do not buy lettuce that was grown in the northern and central regions of California. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's Kohl's Super Saturday. Take an extra 15% off when you spend under $100, or take an extra 20% off when you spend $100 or more. Give joy with cozy sweaters, cuddle bed sheets, or a diamond ring. And get joy with Kohl's Cash. Plus, snap a free picture in-store with Santa, Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. Give joy, get joy at Kohl's. Select styles, 15 and 20% offers valid December 9th through 24th with promo code SNOWMAN. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
An American diplomat looks back on her term. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Outgoing United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley says she believes her greatest accomplishment as ambassador was her role in the process that reduced tensions with North Korea.
To be able to pass the strongest sanctions in a generation that brought the world together and brought North Korea to the table.
Haley also threw some cold water on widespread speculation that she was thinking of running for the White House in 2024.
The only decision I've made right now is that I'm looking forward to sleeping in.
She spoke on NBC's Today Show. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Many people believe the United States is the most generous country in the world, but a new report from Gallup challenges that. Gallup has released the results of an annual World's Most Generous Countries report, and some of the findings may surprise you as we hear from USA Radio Network's John Clemens.
American donations amounted to $410 billion in 2017, or about 2.1% of the U.S. GDP. But Gallup took in other factors, like volunteering, finding the most generous countries to be Indonesia, Australia, followed closely by the U.S., then New Zealand. Using those metrics, Gallup reports people living with far less can also be some of the most generous, like Indonesia, Kenya, and Myanmar, that all rank near the top of their list. I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Well, good afternoon. It's the sports guys, and let's hope they Bill does not leave me in the lurch again. I'm sad to tell everyone that our great friend and colleague and co-host, John Manfreda, had to undergo surgery today, unexpected, not serious, but he's going to be out for a few weeks. And in fact, this is our last sports broadcast until after the new year, because we will not be in next week. And then the following week, the chambers close. So the last few games, as we know, the sprint is on, three more games for the season. And what we, of course, have are some Giant fans who just are starting to feel their oats because of the few wins. But in any event, let me tell you what's going to happen outside tomorrow and the weekend, because this is not going to be a good weekend for any outdoor sports. Tonight we have a 70% chance of rain. By tomorrow, rain is likely 60%, so mainly before noon, so maybe it'll be cloudy but clear up a little bit in the afternoon. This morning it certainly looked like it was going to snow, and in fact where I live it's high, and we did have a few flurries, but they were really, really flurries, not much at all. And then, of course, this afternoon, there have been a few sprinkles. So by Saturday night, there's about an 80% chance of rain that's going to go into Sunday with another, you know, not much better, only 70%, down to 70%. It should be fairly warm, though. I mean, we're not, by Sunday night, it could get down to freezing. But tonight, low of about 41 degrees, high tomorrow about 49, 50 degrees. Again, not freezing on Saturday night, and could get down to freezing temperatures on Sunday night. Again, there's this chance of showers and then chance of rain and possibly snow, because it's down possibly to freezing. So Sunday night could be the night to be really concerned about if you're driving. And this is something that I'm always concerned about, because somehow people in New Jersey often don't realize that rain on the road during the day can mean black ice at night. And of course, SUVs don't help, neither do four-wheel drive trucks, because ice is ice. So by Monday, we can expect a very nice, mostly sunny day, high of about 44 degrees. So that's great. And as I said, the sports guys may be a sport person today. So all you Giant fans, all you have to do is have a couple wins under your belt, and then you think you're going to go on and win the Super Bowl again. But the you know, some teams are, you know, I don't think that I can figure out any way that Chicago will not be in the playoffs. I think they have, that's guaranteed. We don't even want to talk about the Patriots, because, you know, it seems like they're always guaranteed. Last night, I only watched a little bit of the game last night, but that was a really exciting game. I don't know if you were able to see it, but the Chargers and the Chiefs, I truly thought the Chiefs would win. I expected them to win. I really like Andy Reid, and so, you know, most of the time I'm not that interested in watching games unless, you know, it has something to do with the Packers. But I would have if I could have watched the game last night, and I think anybody who did would say it was a very exciting game. I do know that, again, I don't know if the refs were overly zealous, but I think there might have been 7 or 8 holding penalties. And, you know, some of these games, you know, just seems like there's constantly, you know, penalties. And that was my concern about the Packers, the game the Packers had last last Sunday. So the Packers, of course, finally won, which was really nice. They were playing the against the Cardinals, and of course the Cardinals had a 2-9 record this year when they went into the game against the Packers. And in fact, their only two wins were against the 49ers. Well, they now have a 2-10 record. The Packers went into that game with a 4-6-1 record, so they're now 5-6-1. And of course, some diehard Packer fans, like my husband, is still trying to figure out a way that they can win and other people can lose, so that they could get into the playoffs. But unfortunately, although I love the Packers and I'm a diehard Packer fan, they're facing a very tough opponent this week. They're facing Chicago. And I think that Chicago has a, you know, I don't like to bet, but I am concerned, very concerned about Chicago. The Packers are playing in Soldier Stadium in Chicago. If you know anything about the game, the first game against the Packers and the Bears was in Lambeau, but frankly, the first half, the Bears truly outplayed the Packers. The Packers were able to come back in the second half. I think partly, or maybe more than partly, because I think their young quarterback was tired out. I think he didn't have, you know, the ability to read everything as well. And, of course, Khalil Mack, I think by that time he was just exhausted. He hadn't been playing. He had played, of course, in the first half, but he hadn't been practicing with the Bears, and you know, he had just recently been traded to them. And I think he's certainly worth every penny that they paid him, and I am very concerned what's going to happen tomorrow. So what happened since I didn't watch the game last night? I've watched a few other games that were pretty exciting. I think, you know, I'm hoping, because I always hope, that the Minnesota Vikings will lose the game. They're playing the Dolphins. The Dolphins are going to be in Minnesota. And, of course, people would say, well, wait a minute, the Miami Dolphins play in warm weather. Well, so do the Vikings. I have to say I do want to see their stadium. I think their stadium, from everything I've heard, is fabulous. So I definitely want to go to a game. But it's an indoor stadium, so, you know, they don't have the advantage that they might have had if they were playing outside all year. So this should be an interesting game. I believe, if I recall, their last few matchups, the Dolphins have done much better than the Vikings. I hope they do that again. Well, I guess I should say, unless there would be some reason that it would be better for the Packers if the Vikings won this game. But I don't see that. I think that their concern, of course, is you know, that the wild card, that in fact the wild card could go to the Vikings. And that's definitely not what will help the Packers. And, you know, I don't, believe it or not, I don't mind the fact that the Bears are going to be in the playoffs. The Bear-Packer rivalry has been such a great rivalry for so many years. They're so close to each other in wins, losses. But if the Packers can't go in, I'd certainly rather see the Bears go in over the Lions, or certainly over the Minnesota Vikings. So we shall see what happens with you know, this weekend. But let's talk a little bit, since you're a captive audience, and but can certainly turn this off immediately at any time. Perhaps Bill will get here shortly, and then you won't have to hear me drone on and on and on. So what what happened last week when the players played the Cardinals is Fitzgerald came into the game and only needed four catches to pass Jerry Rice. And I shouldn't say, but that was playing with one team. In other words, he only had four catches to pass Jerry Rice when they both played for one team. Now, of course, Packers, there's still some people that thought the Packers could get a wild card because the Panthers at that point had lost three games. So the so what was happening? We had Rodgers is always the focus. This was the first game that they played without McCarthy, meaning that McCarthy had been fired after the prior week debacle. And so that, but Rodgers came into the game with 21 touchdowns and only one interception. So that, Mike is no longer there after 13 seasons with the Packers. Joe Philbin was named the interim coach. And interestingly, my understanding is he had never called plays, so that that made it interesting, but probably gave Rodgers a lot more leeway in deciding, which way they should go when they're out on the field. So the good things for us last week is Bakhtiari was back, Cobb was back. So that was really hopeful because they are both tremendous players and certainly needed. The first was three and out. They made a first down, but then the second, it was really, and I guess they made a couple first downs, but not a touchdown, and they were, the third time up, they were three and out. So then the Cardinals came up and actually looked pretty good. They made a couple first downs. Actually, they made three in a row. Williams looked very good. Then there was they had 7 yards on third down, and they were out. So there was there was a flag on the kick and a 10-yard penalty. And so they were starting at the 8-yard line. And so that back and forth a little bit. And I think we're going to have someone else coming in here, hopefully, and to spell me. And if not, it's going to be, he is. So we're going to have somebody so I don't have to sit here and drone on. My colleague and friend and co-host Bill Wilson have just walked in. And
good afternoon, folks, or should I say good evening? It's a rainy, drizzly day out there in Flemington. The rain has just started.
And he's picking up on Mike 3, so let's make sure that he's on the air. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Pat, good
afternoon.
Is it
raining out there yet?
It started to rain. It's going to be drizzling all weekend. And, that's just time for us to start watching bowl games and to play one of my favorite games, NFL head coach Death Watch.
Oh, well, that will be something to watch. And, by the way, it's going to be more than sprinkling. It's supposed to be really pouring for a lot of the weekend. But let me ask you, I did not watch the Chargers-Chiefs game last night. Did you have an opportunity?
The Chargers shocked the Chiefs, I heard.
Well, they did. Did you see the whole game?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch the game.
Didn't either?
No, unfortunately, I had to get some work done last night.
Unfortunately, I did too. But my husband Dave said it was a terrific game. And, of course, I mentioned that I'd rather have seen the Kansas City win, but you know, that didn't happen. And but apparently that was one of those games that either team could have won. A lot of calls for holding, and that was one of my questions. Are you seeing that some of these games there are so many flags? I mean, at the last Packer game, it was like flag day.
Oh yeah, it's very, very odd. You know, the Eagles had a number of flags that made no sense in their game against Dallas. They had a touchdown called back. Well, of course they scored on the next play. But, you know, it's just been plain weird. But, you know, last night the Chargers beaten the Chiefs by a point, and I'm an Andy Reid fan, so I was kind of disappointed.
At the end, they went for the two-pointer, right?
I'm sorry?
Didn't they have a touchdown and then they went for the extra 2 points, which that's why they won?
I don't know. I didn't see the game.
No. I think that was why they had the win. They went for that extra 2 points.
Yeah.
And I think they've had some problems this year maybe with the kicker. But the point is they risked it all. And they risked to, you know, win or lose based on that last play.
Well, you know, it was a gutsy play because if you don't get those 2 points, you lose by one.
That's right.
And you don't trust your kicker. You're tying. That's to tie the game up for you and go into overtime. Well, with the screwy refereeing we've had, it's kind of hard to really understand what's going on.
Well, and of course, we're kind of the sprint to the end, three more games.
Yeah, and, you know,
there's some teams that are, you know, I think they have shoe-in. They don't have to worry. There are a few teams that I think are really set. But there are lots of people looking for those wild card spots, including, my understanding, the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants suddenly are starting to play some football. And what's really interesting is why is it that they're only waking up now to start playing? It seems to me that Shurmur had to get some control over his players. He had to get some guys healthy, and you know, the Giants seem to be going in a direction opposite from that of the Philadelphia Eagles. We just learned last night that Carson Wentz has been playing with a broken vertebra.
Is it broken vertebra? I know they had some kind of problem in the back,
right.
And they didn't know if he'd be playing this week.
Yeah, he's not going to play. We're going to see the return of Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles, which, frankly,
really?
I like. I think that the Eagles needed a little bit of a shaking up. Additionally, you must remember, 11 starters on both sides of the ball for the Philadelphia Eagles are not playing right now because of injuries, and the Eagles are still 6-7, which to me is an accomplishment given the injuries, given the fact that Carson Wentz has not had a full recovery from his injuries at the hands of the Los Angeles Rams last year. He will be traveling with the team, but between the MRI and the other scans, they've shown that he's got a broken vertebra. I do not think he should play for the rest of the season, and the Eagles should basically understand that as we Eagles fans do, that this is just not our year as it was last year. Remember, we gave up a 17-point lead to the Titans. We gave up a 17-point lead to the Carolina Panthers. And we lost by a point to Dallas in overtime.
I cannot imagine. You watch that entire game?
Yeah, it killed me, losing to Dallas twice. And the interesting thing is this. I think there's a real problem with some of the Eagle play calling. I think this should be a two tight end offense. You've got Ertz and Aguilar, both available, healthy, and able to catch the ball. And Wentz is not the mobile Carson Wentz that he was last year. So this is an offense that, given all the injuries, is probably better suited for the skills of a Nick Foles, who was ready, willing, really? And able to come in and
so.
Take care of things.
Well, I have to tell you, I what happened is instead of watching Cowboys-Eagles, you know, we sometimes have to tape the Packers and we watch them a little later. And, of course, Dave had said he was going to find out the score before he even watched it because he wasn't going to watch it if they lost again. But the point is, I think you know, and some of our listeners know, that in my household, of course, Dave and I, my husband and I, are diehard Packer fans. We didn't do something right because our daughter is a diehard Cowboy fan and really is and knows more about football than probably, you know, more than 50% of the guys who think they're great.
Well, Pat, I think the only thing you didn't do right was disinherit her.
Well, but then, of course, one of her sons is just as rabid as she is. And then her other son and daughter are Eagles fans. Well, I can't imagine what it was like if they all watched the game. I have not even talked to my grandson, who's the Eagle fan this week. I know he's just devastated.
Well, it's tough when you're an Eagles fan and you go from winning a Super Bowl to being 6-7, having just put a hurting on the Washington Redskins' chances the week
right.
before, and looking really good, although they had Mark Sanchez at quarterback.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, at the beginning of the season, it really looked like the Redskins were going to be the top of your division.
Oh, yeah, they were going to be the top dog. And then, like anything else, injuries at this time of year make or break teams. Plus, remember, the Eagles have not had good wide receivers or good offensive linemen for 11 out of the 13 games that have already been played. 13 games that have already been played. The other problem on the defensive side of the ball is that the Super Bowl secondary is all banged up and has not played much. And with the problem being that the last year when somebody got hurt, another Eagle stepped up and played exceptionally well, which is a credit to the coaching and the scouting and to the individual player. This year, for whatever reason, they're just not making the plays. They haven't really lost games by that much.
Well, that's, I think, interesting for so many games that, you know, certainly the game last night, either team could have won that, and they both should have. I watched part of the game with the Eagles and Cowboys, and frankly, I was hoping that would end up a tie. I think they both... Both teams deserve to win that game. And, you know, I think that there have been some very close games this year where you could honestly say either team should win. I've not been as happy with some of the play calls this year. You know, it just seems that there's some that are, you know, are pretty clear to me at least, that either a ball was caught or it wasn't caught, and they're just not, you know, making a lot of good calls. What I loved, however, was the new coach in Green Bay, and he just challenged, you know, he was out of challenges because I think it might have been the first two plays that there were
right.
challenges. I don't know. I think it was in the first two plays. It might not have been in the first two plays, but he just went out and challenged, and you know what? Even though you might have questioned especially one of them, but even though he lost, I think it rallied the Packer fans. You know, the Packer fans were really the loss the week before was just so unexpected.
That was a heartbreaker. And, you know, with the disruption that comes with the moving on of any head coach. And
no, it wasn't moving on. It was being fired.
Yeah, he had to move on.
Yeah, well, okay. I guess he did.
I was being nice.
Okay.
They booted him like a 60-yard field goal. And, Pat, the story that I'm hearing out of Green Bay on the media is that Aaron Rodgers was disgusted with the McCarthy's play calling. There was a lot of dissension on the team surrounding McCarthy and his choice of plays. And I think the Packers had lost their offensive coordinator, who I think went to, was it the Lions, to become the head coach there?
You're probably right. Well, what I have to say, Ed, there were a couple times that there was no question that, first of all, that one game when McCarthy didn't challenge. And, you know, in other words, he didn't want to lose the timeout, but it was so clearly the wrong, you know, call. And, you know, you're right. Sometimes the referees, even though you see that it should be challenged and it should be overturned, whatever the call was, sometimes they don't do it. But that game, you know, McCarthy really, really should have challenged. And I think everybody, that and the fact that on a third down, he didn't go for it. And I think those two in that particular game, that the Packers lost the game. And I'm not saying they could have won, but they might have won, because if they had gone on fourth down and got a first down, they would have still had a chance. And unfortunately, the other team was just able to hold the ball.
That's
so
right.
They had no chance. So that's the kind of thing that he's so cautious. And I think some of the other things that I've seen is when you look at I remember a couple plays in the Packer-Patriot game. I mean, they were really razzle-dazzle, and that wasn't happening in Green Bay. And I know there's also been a lot of criticism of Rodgers. I mean, frankly, he does not look as good this year. He did not, even this past game, he did not look as good. He's been, you know, overthrowing balls. Of course, he's had to deal with young rookies. And you're right. There have been a lot of injuries. There have been a lot of injuries, but have some teams gone without injuries? I don't think so. I heard
it's
is
really
Beckham
tough.
Out this week? Yeah. Did I hear that Beckham is going to be out this week for the
Odell
Giants?
Yeah, Odell Beckham is not playing this week, and probably not the rest of the season. I mean, the Giants seemed to do pretty well without him last weekend. They played a very good game. They won. They showed that they're on their way back. They become resilient thanks to, I think, Pat Shurmur's coaching and the good play calling. What will happen with Eli Manning next year, I don't know. Kyle Landetta certainly deserves a chance to be there for a couple of snaps a game now, or perhaps play a quarter. Because remember, the Giants were up something like 41-0 or 37-0 for a long time in this game, and they really showed that the Redskins are in decline.
Yeah, that's the difference. I mean, the Giants started so slowly this year. The Redskins looked like, hey, they were going to be, you know, that they were going to be the leader of the pack, and then it's just kind of been the reverse.
Yeah, the teams are going in opposite directions, and it shows you just how important quarterbacks are in the NFL. I'd like to switch for a moment, because I know we're at the 5:30 mark, Pat, and if there's some commercials you need
okay,
to play, I think we ought
that.
To play them.
I think you're right. I've been negligent. I was so happy to see that you had made it, and of course, we'll talk.
Glad to see me.
We'll talk about our friend John when we're off the air, but let's talk about some of the people who support us.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, folks, we know we've got two football games Saturday. We've got the Texans being hosted by the team that puts the fun in dysfunctional, the New York Jets, and Browns at Broncos, which might be the better game. The Jets game is at 4:30, and the later game, the Browns at Broncos, is at 8:20. And, boy, Mile High Stadium, 8 o'clock at night in the middle of December, brrr.
They still play outside, right?
They do play outside.
I think the bigger problem in Denver is playing at that altitude because, I wonder if even the Broncos, if they ever get used to that altitude.
I think you do because there are a lot of people who live in a very high altitude environment. I have a cousin who lives in a town called Rifle, Colorado, not far from Grand Junction. And he's up in the mountains, and he says, you know, he's only 28, but it took him about a month to get used to the altitude. And his girlfriend, who's been living in one of those higher altitude towns as well, grew up there, said when she's out in here in New Jersey, in our flatlands, as she likes to call them, she feels even extra energy because she's getting more oxygen. That's kind of an interesting thing. Meanwhile, we were talking about NFL head coach Death Watch. How much longer for Todd Bowles with the Jets? I think they fire him at the end of the season. What do you think?
I don't know if what will help them. Although, you know, I've heard the rumor is that they're talking to McCarthy.
I don't know that that makes much sense. That's sort of like, the second coming of Rich Kotite. I was never impressed with McCarthy as a Packer coach.
I have to tell you, neither was I. I got a number of calls this week. I was talking to people, and they said, oh, you know, we'll commiserate with you about McCarthy. And I said, on the contrary, I'm not unhappy that he left. I think that I don't know how the players and how many of the players liked him, but going back, and I said this over and over and over again, but going back to the way that he dealt with Brett Favre, I don't think either one of them did a good job. I understand that they didn't want to lose Rodgers, and it was time for Rodgers to, you know, start playing, but it just seemed to me that they could have handled that much better, and as I said, I've not been happy. On the other hand, you know, I'm not so sure about this new general manager. I mean, he's just been there. Ted Thompson, the GM, was just great for all those years. I thought he did, you know, they did a fantastic job in the draft. The Packers always went after the next best player available, which is why they got Rodgers.
Yes.
And, you know, they went after Favre when he was in Atlanta. He was only there for his rookie year. They saw something, some real potential, and they went and picked him up. One of the things the Packers have not done is, you know, sign a lot of free agents and do a lot of trades.
No, but you remember, the free agent problem in football, you either have a bust or you have a pleasant surprise, like Dallas with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was the difference in the Eagle game for Dallas in overtime.
Yep.
And remember how close that game was.
Mm-hmm.
Prescott threw the ball. One of the Eagles' secondary actually got his hands on the ball, tipped it,
yep,
and it came down in Amari Cooper's hand.
Oh, that
Cooper was paying attention.
Yeah, no, I saw that play, and that was really, I felt so bad for the,
for us downtrodden Philadelphia fans.
Well, the fact that he had to be so pleased that he actually batted the ball, and what's the chances of batting the ball and then having the offensive player still
catching it. Oh, absolutely. Nine times out of ten, the ball ends up on the ground or out of bounds. Sometimes teams just get lucky. It makes the sport even more exciting. Speaking of exciting, let's talk about what's going on in Philadelphia on the ice. The Flyers are in Edmonton tonight, skating against the Oilers and Connor McDavid. Philadelphia's had a major GM change a couple of weeks ago. Ron Hextall is out.
Yeah, what happened there?
It's very interesting. Hextall did not have a win-now philosophy. What he wanted to do was stockpile young players who would be around for a long, long time, get Philadelphia out from under cap trouble, which he did. Now Philadelphia has probably the best quality players in the farm system that they've had in many, many years. If you go to watch the Lehigh Phantoms right now, you'll see some excellent young hockey players. And in the East Coast Hockey League, there are two affiliates. And in their Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, they've also got some excellent young draft choices that they've stockpiled, skating on the ice for them. The problem now, though, is that Philadelphia's had terrible goaltending. Brian Elliott was hurt early in the season. Michael Nyworth came back from being injured in postseason surgery. So the goaltending has not been good at all. So they brought Anthony Stolarz up from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and he seems to be the real thing. He's been in goal for the past week or so. He's managed to stand on his head. The Flyers had a win in Buffalo where they won 6-2 after trailing 2-0 in the first period.
Boy, then, isn't that an exciting game when you get that many goals? I think that's the one thing that maybe those of us who are kind of lukewarm fans, it's like football. Most fans would like to see a high-scoring game, not a low-scoring game. In other words, we'd rather see, you know,
a tight,
great
high-scoring game, like a 41-37 game.
You know, or what was the score a few weeks ago? 50, they were over 100.
There was a game where Temple University won.
Well, this was NFL.
I forget who they played, but I like high-scoring hockey games where there are a lot of goals, although coaches hate it. So the Flyers go to Buffalo, win 6-2, and then the next night they lose to Winnipeg by a horrible 7-1.
Ooh.
A team that is beyond inconsistent. So tonight they're at Edmonton, and who knows what we'll see. It's like that box of chocolates. You never know whether you're going to get something you like or something you don't like.
Oh, no. You see, that's a mistake. Anybody who buys a box of assorted chocolates deserves to bite into the thing that they dislike the most, because you can get around that by buying a box of what you like. In fact, I'm going to give a plug for both the Fudge Shop on 202 and the Farmer's Market. I am, you know, addicted to the dark sea salt caramels at the Farmer's Market.
I'm going to have to go up there and try it, because Pat, I am a chocolateholic, and I'm also a coffee junkie.
Well, they are really good, and they also have some, you know, all of their dark chocolate is very good.
Well, you have to have that, 87% cocoa content?
Yep.
And remember, after all those years of listening to your dentist, we've all now suddenly found out that chocolate's actually good for you.
Well, but not only that. Now, I will admit that I have not made chocolate in probably the last 3 years, because every year there's something, including this year, that prevented it. But when I made chocolate, and I would make about 150 pounds or 200 pounds at Christmas.
Are you sure you're not a member of the Hershey family?
But my chocolate is much better. And when you make chocolate yourself, you can, for those of my friends who imbibe, I put liquor in the chocolate. But in any event, my point was, you mentioned the dentist. I always sent my dentist a box of chocolate.
There's an irony in that.
At Christmas.
Moving right along, we're seeing some interesting things in Philadelphia. Ivan Provorov is getting too many minutes. He's not playing well on defense. Shane Kotisbeher is, although he's playing well, he's not up to what he was his sophomore year, where he had 53 goals. For a defenseman to score that many points is really unusual. I feel the rumblings of a trade coming. There needs to be either some stud defenseman. Stolarz is facing way too many shots, particularly late in the game. When they played the Calgary Flames two nights ago, they lost 6-5 in overtime. They were up by 2 goals with 1:07 to go. With 3 minutes to go. They gave up a goal. Then, with about 57 seconds to go, Calgary tied it with another goal. And then the Flyers lose in overtime, 37 seconds into the overtime, when Travis Konecny can't quite cover his man while they're playing 4-on-4, or 3-on-3, rather. So you've got an inconsistent team, and I think that's a coaching problem, and hopefully that'll sort it itself out. Ian LaPerriere was kicked upstairs, so he's no longer the power play coach. The penalty kill has gotten better, but against the Calgary Flames, the Flyers gave up 4 minor penalties in the third period. And you can't do that against a high-scoring, fast-skating team like the Calgary Flames are in the Western Conference, where everything is speed.
I'm not a great hockey fan, and certainly have not followed for a number of years, but I sometimes don't understand the penalties. I have to say, I don't get it when some of these penalties, and I guess somebody needs to give me a basic lesson in, what constitutes a penalty in hockey. Because remember, many, many, many years ago, I lived in Illinois. I was a Chicago fan, and, I don't know if they ever called any penalties.
Well, remember, when you get into the Stanley Cup playoffs and you get into an overtime, the refs just let the teams play. And if a fight breaks out, well, they'll stop the fight, and maybe they'll send one guy from each team off. But there are too many penalties. They're trying to make the game safer. So you've got to control your stick. You can't raise it above your shoulders. You've got to control what happens with your stick if it ends up in somebody else's face, whereas, getting hurt was part of the game. It was like a rite of passage to get beat up by somebody else when you played hockey. But on the other hand, the game's gotten safer, but it's also gotten faster. The emphasis on speed in the NHL now, and in the AHL and some of the minor leagues, and also if you watch some of the games that are broadcast from Europe, particularly from Sweden or Finland, the game is like lightning now. So the big lumbering defenseman is gone.
Well, that's my question, one of my questions, because these guys are so bulked up anyway with all the clothing. But it seems to me that a lot of these players, they just don't weigh as much as they used to 20 and 30 years ago. Am I wrong?
I mean, think you're right. They're taller, though.
Well,
so
taller,
you might get a 6'6 guy
faster,
who weighs 230 pounds.
Well, but 6'6 and 230 is not,
that's not heavy.
What my image was the Refrigerator Perry of football. Who was one of my favorite Chicago Bears. He was fun.
Remember when he played for the Eagles? He scored a touchdown.
Did he play for
the
Eagles?
He did. He played for the Buddy Ryan era Eagles. They actually had a play
did
at the
he
end
play
of the season.
After the Bears or before?
After the Bears.
Oh, well. Listen, talking about...
And I'll tell you, it was one of my favorite Eagle plays of all time.
Well.
And they called it Freezer Right. And what happened was if they were inside the 1 yard line and they knew they were going to run the ball, the fridge became one of the running backs by stepping back about a foot off the line. And one of the ends, both of the ends, stepped up to the line. So they had the right number of guys on the line. And basically, because he was 6'6", his job was to be handed the ball and then just to flop forward into the end zone, which of course he did.
Which he did, and then, I always enjoyed the Packer-Bear games when he played. I mean, I think everybody did. I don't know of anybody who didn't like him. But let's get to a few spots because we're almost out of time. And, I wonder whatever happened to Refrigerator Perry, because, it would be interesting sometime to think about what happened to a number of these old players that we most enjoyed watching. But right now, let's listen, and we'll listen to a few spots from our sponsors.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay.
We've got a couple of football games Saturday, but Sunday,
yep.
We've got the Packers-Bears, and how are the Packers going to handle the force of nature called Khalil Mack?
Right after that first game, that even though the Packers won, I remember saying to Dave, I don't want to even think about their second game. They're playing in Chicago. There are a lot of banged up Packers. He's terrific. And I think Treblinski is really a shining star. I mean, I've been very impressed when I've seen him. I haven't seen all of his games, but I've been very impressed with this young guy. I don't know how much you've watched Bears,
I have watched them because I was a Khalil Mack fan when he was playing for Oakland.
Is that how you pronounce his name, Khalil?
Khalil Mack.
Khalil. I never can. I thought it was Kale, but
I think it's
Khalil.
A Muslim name, Khalil. But I have a friend Khalil who is from Egypt, and I have another friend Khalil who is from Turkey.
Okay.
My guess is it's a Muslim name.
Well, he is terrific. I think that, in fact, I'm not saying he inspired the Bears. I'm certainly not saying he's Reggie White. But I can see a little bit of, you know, what he's done to that team.
Yeah.
The same thing that Reggie did when he came to the Packers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
Yep.
Plus, he is very disruptive because he can just find a way, despite his size, in addition to his size, he's quick, and he's managed to get around an awful lot of offensive linemen.
Well, and someone like that, I can't imagine as a quarterback going into a game, always you have to be worried that this guy's going to break through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not going to give Rodgers, and this is one of my concerns, I don't think he's going to give Rodgers the time that Rodgers has had often, you know, standing back and trying to, you know, move around and wait for his guys to go downfield. I think that Mac is going to be all over him. There are too many Packer players that, are just not what they should be as far as the line. There are too many rookies. I mean, the Packers at one point in, was it the last game or the game before that, I think they had 7 or 8 rookies playing. You know, you can't do that. And even though these guys may be very good, they're just too young.
That could very well be. But, you know, there's another interesting game coming up, and I commend this game to you. Dolphins.
Oh, I know. I talked about that. The Dolphin Vikings, I think the Dolphins are out ahead as far as statistics when they've been playing the Vikings. And, of course, you know, what's the Dolphins' record right now? I don't even know.
Well, the Dolphins did not have a good start to the season.
Right.
And there were a lot of rumblings about the head coach, but they seem to have pulled something together. And, you know, I've always liked Miami as a venue for football. I've always liked Miami going back even to the Don Shula years. They were a fun team to watch.
Well, you know what? We are almost out of time. We can talk a couple minutes, but certainly they're going to be talking over us quickly.
Yep.
And we will not be seeing you until the new year. John won't be here. I'm going to have to pick up my grandson.